I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to another episode of The Memo on this Wednesday, June the 29th, 2016. Is it really June the 29th?
It is. That's what my computer says.
Good grief. I'm Brad Locke, along with W. Derek Russell over there.
If you trust everything your computer says.
You should.
If it's on the internet, it must be real.
It's true. If it's on the internet.
Nobody's disputed it by this point.
Chris Kiefer, the producer, is over there. What's up, Chiefer?
What's up?
I could check out Snopes and see if it's June 29th.
You could do that just to make sure.
Well, they tell you.
Snopes should be able to figure that out. Unless Snopes.
Submit a rumor. Is it June 29th?
Suspense.
But what if Snopes is wrong?
Who would know?
Exactly.
You want to go steal a news fan? It's the perfect crime. How can they report it?
Oh, man. So
I'm just going to go ahead and say it was June 29th.
Okay.
I think that's right.
Yeah, close enough. 29th-ish.
Depends on where in the world you're listening to it, I guess. Could be the 30th.
True, if you're like in Australia or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we got a lot of listeners in Australia, I'm sure.
Probably do. I think Sydney. I think we're big in Sydney.
Mm-hmm. It's because of Derek. The shows that Derek's on do really well in Sydney News. And if he's out.
They can't get enough Northeast Mississippi News in Sydney.
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Brad's is the Philippines.
I was checking. We missed about. If we had done an hour ago, we would have been in the same time. But it's 1:03 a.m. in Australia.
So it is June the 30th there.
It is Thursday.
So it's now Wednesday, June 29th, or Thursday, June 30th, depending on where you're listening from. If you're in Australia listening to this, well, by the time this actually gets posted, it's well into Thursday.
They'll be awake.
They'll be awake by this point.
So wake up, Sydney.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Sydney.
Top of the morning.
Glad you could join us.
That's not Australian.
It's British. But it's an Commonwealth,
though. It's an Irish phrase or British, whatever.
But Australia's part of the Commonwealth.
How about Britain, huh? I'm not quite 100% sure what. Did they like secede? Is that how that works?
We'll find out soon enough.
Is that what happened?
Secede is not the correct term.
I don't know. That's just what I'm familiar with.
The best
with being
summation
from the South.
I saw of it. I forget who tweeted it, but it was Britain's exit reminds me of the time I tried to swat a fly and ended up crashing and kicking in the TV set and and scratching my cornea. It's pretty apt description of what's going on over there.
I saw an editorial cartoon the other day. It was a picture of a giant airplane that said EU on the tail, and this British guy had just jumped out the door, and he was in a sitting position holding tea and about to take a sip of it while jumping out of the airplane with no parachute. So I thought that was kind of funny.
He died.
Well, exactly. That's the point.
That's a sad joke.
Pretty much killed their own country, possibly. I don't know anything about this. I mean,
That's a long way to go for a joke. Yeah. Death.
I thought it was funny.
Mel Brooks.
Exactly.
Our hearts go out to his family.
Here's a cartoon.
We had it.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, you didn't. I said
I
an
thought
editorial.
It was literally a guy jumping
no,
out.
No, I said it was an editorial cartoon.
That
would have been even funnier if it was a real guy.
Did you see today's editorial cartoon? Was
I
thought it was a little bit of a stretch, but it was the Beatles, and it was just changing lyrics to the Beatles songs. That was all.
Did see that?
Added EU to it. I don't know.
Yeah, I saw that. So
like
anyway,
the concept. I didn't like the execution.
But who cares about Great Britain? Because we're in Mississippi. Maybe the people in Sydney care. I don't know. It used to be a British territory, right? Australia? Yes? Is my history correct here?
You're right. You're right. It's part of the Commonwealth.
I'm just letting you hang yourself
I didn't
out
do
there.
So great
See
in world history.
You Did you not?
I mean, I passed.
Mm-hmm.
It was my senior year of high school. Yeah.
I mean, I can point stuff out on a map.
What?
I mean, I can point stuff out.
Yeah, I can sometimes.
Like I said the other day, I still got a globe that has the USSR on it. There.
Yeah. So, what else we got to talk about today, Derek, besides Great Britain and maps? Education. It's the education.
Yeah.
It's the education show. Emma Kent's going to be on here. Going to have a special guest as well to talk about education things.
All education, all the time.
But we're also going to have Bobby Harrison.
You might learn some things today, Brad.
You might. I might. We both might.
You might.
We all might learn something.
We might. Like what time it is in Australia.
Yeah. Bobby Harrison, it's Wednesday in Jackson, day two of the special session. They're hoping it just be one day. The government could not be so efficient.
We're hoping to have Bobby Harrison, actually. It's kind of just depending on the schedule, what time they're in session.
Well, it's on the script, Chris, so I'm just going to go ahead and say.
Hashtag MS exit.
Yeah, so we'll try to have Bobby on the show. If not, we'll just.
Maybe tomorrow.
We'll just edit out this whole bit. Who else do we have? We have Jenna Parsons.
Jenna Parsons.
Food.
It is Wednesday. It
sure is. We got a long show ahead of us, I think. Just a guess.
I'm gonna say it's tracking towards that.
Okay. Well, then let's get into it, perhaps.
All right. Let's do it.
Great. Oh, but before we move on, need to remind you that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, formerly known as Palmer's. The locally owned grocery store still offers high quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. Visit Shoppers Value Foods on East Main. And now we send it over to education reporter Emma Kent with our special guest today.
Okay, today we've got Mike Mulvihill here from MDE. He is the Director of Career and Technical Education. And so he's here to talk to us about a new program, a software program, to promote career readiness in some schools around Northeast Mississippi. So, Mike, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So this program is, it's a software program, kind of an initiative to get these high schools to get their students thinking about their careers, to get them planning and ready and really aware of what's out there. And so tell us just a little bit about the software. I know it's got four parts, four components. So tell us a little bit about those.
Right. The software does have four components. I'm going to back up for just a second and sure. really kind of explain the big reasons why this is an important process in the northeast part of the state. There are two things that are going on right now. One is business and industry has a great need for skilled workers. And what's happening in the business world is most workers, the average age is getting older, but technology is getting greater every single year. So if you are Toyota, and you realize that in most cars today there are 30 different computer chips and 5 miles of electrical wiring, then you've got to have highly skilled workers. On the other end, you have a number of students that really aren't quite sure where they want to go with their careers. And in today's world, you've got to have a diploma plus something else. And that could be a national certification, an associate's degree, a bachelor's degree, whatever the case may be. So this software comes in as kind of a middle melding pot here. And so it helps students with career exploration. What jobs are out there? What might you be interested in? Soft skills, how do you relate to people? What are your communication skills? You know, how do you work-based learning types of things? There is the ACT prep course for the college test. And then another test called ACT Work Keys, which measures reading for information, locating information, and applied mathematics. So those are areas that will help any student when they get ready to go into the workforce, because we do expect every student at some point in time to have a job and a career.
Right. And so this software is being funded by the Toyota USA Foundation. And then the focus on Northeast Mississippi is because of the Toyota plant in Blue Springs. And like you said earlier, you know, hopefully this is something we can expand to the rest of the state. But for now, just focusing it here. So the schools that will be using it are Saltillo High School, New Albany High School, Pontotoc High School, and North Pontotoc High School.
Yes.
All right. And so actually we have Lance Evans here, who is the principal of New Albany High School. Hey, Lance.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing well. We've also got John Farrell here with us, career technical director.
Hey, John.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing great.
Thanks for joining us.
Anytime.
Okay. So on y'all's end of this, what is this... you know, what's the significance of having this software program to share with your students, and what do you hope that it does for them?
Well, at the Career and Technical Center, what we're planning on doing this upcoming year with it is to the Work Keys component that Mr. Mulvihill was talking about that's in the software. We're planning on devoting a certain amount of time per week to prepare our students for the Work Keys test. And using that software, it'll place them in the place that, you know, where they are. And like I said, we're going to devote a certain amount of time each week to let them work through the exercises to move up to the levels to where they'll be successful. And then we're planning on testing students on the actual work keys in the spring semester after they've, you know, we've devoted time through the fall semester and the beginning of the spring semester to get them prepared for that test so that they can be successful on the work key certification.
And so with the whole career readiness initiative, just that focus on preparing students for the next steps, whether that's college or career, why do you think that this career readiness focus is important for your students?
This is Lance talking now. So we'll just kind of go back and forth between Mr. Farrell and I. It's a huge component, just like Mr. Mobile was saying earlier. When students graduate from high school, they need to have a type of certification in addition to a high school diploma. That with the way the world has evolved to where we are now, things are very specialized. In the past, there was a huge focus on college readiness. But what we found is we were leaving over 70% of our students out in that focus. You know, so that now they're married together with college and career readiness. Like he was speaking to earlier, the software through the WIN learning system, it encompasses the work keys component. Also, it'll focus on those soft skills. And as we've talked to the employers in our area, and as well as dealing with Toyota and other larger employers, those soft skills are the things that we're finding that a lot of our students and students in our state are lacking. I don't know if it's a generational thing. I think really a lot of it has to do with that, just that transition from one generation to the other. So we're really focusing on that in our high school and our career and technical center, and also making sure that those students understand another component that the software has. It's a career planning piece as well, so that say, for example, a student wanted to explore a certain career option. It'll also let the students know the type of education they would have to have, the potential salary they would earn, depending on the part of the country that they're in. And it's a career planning piece. So just like we already have career planning that we do in our schools all across our state, we're actually MDE is gracious enough to allow us to be able to use this WIN software to actually take the place of that in our school. So we're excited about that because we feel like our students are getting a lot out of it. Our counselors are also very involved in it as well.
Great. Well, it sounds like it's going to be pretty beneficial to the kids in this area. So, and I think it's good to see MDE and the schools working together and to do this to bring this about and bring it into the school. So thank y'all for being here today.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
You too. Okay, so and with the soft skills, how is that going to work, learning soft skills through a software package? How does that work?
All right, so in each one of these software packages that the schools will be using, there'll be different components in there. So we'll talk about interview skills. So let's start with that. One of the things that it'll do is it'll outline the things that the student really needs to know, but then it'll also have exercises built in there that they can model and they can practice. So for example, what you could do is practice some of these things internally, and you could have like a local human resource person come in and then actually do an interview. So it gives them an opportunity to absorb some of the concepts and then do some modeling, some practicing on their own, and then build from there. So you'll break this into different areas. And so by utilizing the software, it actually helps structure the process instead of, well, maybe today I'm going to do a little interviewing and maybe 2 weeks from now I'll do some communication. It'll give you some timelines and some outlines on how to use that. So the software is going to be really good in that area because it gives the instructor, they don't have to pull things together. It's outlined with best practices there, and then the students can utilize that and practice over and over and over.
Great. Okay. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for being here.
Okay, enjoyed it.
Need to remind y'all to look for the Two Sports podcast that we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes airing every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live about 11 a.m. at djournal.com, and the podcast version drops later in the day. You can listen to it for free on iTunes or podcast apps or at preprally.djournal.com. And then for Ole Miss and MSU fans, check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis of the Bulldogs and Rebels. You can listen to it free in iTunes, podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. And the Daily Journal is excited to announce a change in our website that will allow more people to consume as much of our content as they want. We've recently removed our paywall, and djournal.com is now free from the first click to the last. We've also increased our multimedia content by launching new products ranging from videos to webcasts, to podcasts like this one. The website complements our print product, the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal, so visit djournal.com to stay informed on the latest news in Northeast Mississippi. Whether you want a recipe for tonight's dinner or details on the city's plan to revitalize neighborhoods, you can find it all in one place. There's no limit to what you can do at djournal.com, so come and stay a while and leave informed about the communities we serve. And now, Emma Kent remains here with us, as does Mike Mulvihill with the Department of Education. And I want to talk a little bit more about education things. In particular, Emma, this story you had, I think it was yesterday, Tuesday, about this computer science curriculum pilot program that several school districts in the state are trying out. And there's been some training going on for some area teachers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is this? What's kind of the purpose of this curriculum? What are they hoping to accomplish with it?
It's called Computer Science for Mississippi, mm-hmm. and they are hoping to eventually have computer science in kindergarten through 12th grade schools.
Right.
But this year they'll just be K through 5 and then in high school, and they'll add a middle school component later. But they are trying to just get computer science concepts into the curriculum, teaching kids, just getting kids exposed really to it, because as we know, technology runs the world. So
The computers are everywhere, Emma. Did you know that?
They're right. You have one right there,
I'm
Brad.
Looking at one right now. It's your story.
So it's getting kids prepared with those, I guess you could call them like 21st century skills, you know.
Right.
So that they're ready when they go to get jobs and they're prepared to enter our workforce. So,
right.
And Mike could probably, I'm sure, tell us more details about
it. Yeah, Mike, and what's kind of the process for this pilot program? I know they're going to assess things after a year or two.
Right. Now, currently what's happened is there are some middle school programs that mm-hmm. most school districts have, mm-hmm. but they're about 10 years old, so they need to be rewritten.
Okay.
There are a few computer science programs that are in the career tech area. There are some of them that are at the high schools, but they're not widespread. And so the idea behind this initiative is to say students need to be exposed to this from kindergarten on, because you've heard about the digital divide in the past, and that's why we dropped some of these programs down to middle school. Well, you know, you see students or kids that are 2 years old playing with their parents' iPhones or Androids or something like that. So the easiest way to do this was to start with K-5. And so in each year, every student will have about 20 hours of computer science training, and just gets them started, gets them comfortable. There's a piece of software called Scratch, where there's a sandbox in there with a cat. And so you can drop and drag commands, make the cat do flips, or they can move back and forth. You can add all kinds of colors and different things like that. And then the training this week is with a new 9th grade program called Exploring Computer Science. It's really broken into several areas, and part of it is exposing students and ramping up their computer science knowledge, but it's also a problem-solving piece, because there's data collection in there. We have tons of data. How do you take a look at it? How do you analyze it? It's web design. There is some programming pieces in there, and there's actually a little robotics engineering, because you're going to see more and more and more things automated. Toyota right up the road, or Nissan or somewhere like that, has got a lot of robotics welding. Yeah. There's a lot of computer programming. So the idea is to have that 9th grade program there and get students ready to be better prepared as they move through high school and into whatever they're going to do after that.
And you mentioned problem solving, and you know, I know that and critical thinking are a big part of this program, and really that's something that probably could apply across all subjects. I know a lot of times kids are just, you know, wanting to regurgitate what's been fed to them so they can score.
And that's
well.
It, because as things become a little more technically oriented and more complicated, problem solving is going to be a critical part of the next 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, and that's really one of the basis of this program. You want to expose them to computer science, you want to give them as much information as possible, but if they can think critically and they can solve problems, they're going to be that much farther ahead.
And this pilot program has got several Northeast Mississippi school districts, including Lee County Schools, mm-hmm. Pontotoc City, Pontotoc County, Tishomingo, and so on. Emma, so you've talked to some of these teachers, you know, at the training mm-hmm. earlier this week, and they all seem pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I mean, they were excited to get some training for this. I think, you know, one teacher I talked to said, you know, it's just really nice to be able to come in and kind of like test run this, to kind of look at everything and get my hands on it before I take it into the classroom. So they all seemed like they were excited about it and like they were looking forward to bringing that to their students once school starts. So I think it'll be hopefully something the students are excited about too.
And of course, this initiative, obviously, the Mississippi Department of Education is behind this, as well as the Research and Curriculum Development Unit at Mississippi State University.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about what they do?
Yes. The Research and Curriculum Unit at Mississippi State works in conjunction with the Department of Education, and they have for about 50 years. Okay. And so they help us with curriculum development and professional development. And, you know, this is a perfect example of a special project where they're perfectly aligned for this. So they actually have a couple of specialists that have been working on this Computer Science for Mississippi program since the inception of it. So they helped out with task force. They've helped out with the curriculum. They have actually brought in the instructors for this week's training and so forth. So they really they help us focus on those types of things to get a lot of our programs aligned and up and going.
Okay. Well, good stuff. That story, again, Emma wrote, you can find in Tuesday's Journal or at djournal.com. Emma, Mike, thank you all very much. Good stuff.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brad.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Programming note, I'm on vacation next week, so unless somebody else wants to do it, there will be no Capitol View next Monday. Just FYI. We'll be back the next week, though. Plus, isn't Monday July 4th?
Yes. We're a
Monday holiday. Probably wouldn't do one anyway.
You're right. There's no Capitol View, which is also a good segue to say there won't be a memo on Monday either.
That's right.
We'll be back on Wednesday and Thursday of next week.
Without me. Suckers. I'll be on a lake.
There goes
drinking beer.
Listenership in the Philippines.
Might even play some golf. Haven't done that in a while. Where are we at? News memo. Want to do the news memo, Derek? You good?
Sure. Why not?
Go back into professional announcer mode. Today's news memo. For more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Marine veteran Scott Burns is camping out at the Mall at Barnes Crossing until midnight on Sunday morning to raise money for veterans. This is the 10th annual 7 Days for the Troops. The Tupelo resident has collected about $151,000 over the first 9 years and wants to add to that total this year. Money raised goes to Purple Heart Homes, an organization that retrofits veterans' homes to make them handicapped accessible. Numerous sponsors have donated items to be raffled off. Tickets are $10 each and can be purchased at the mall or at the 7 Days for the Troops Facebook page.
Weeks before its 6th back-to-school resource fair, the United Way is seeking more donations. The agency is $20,000 short of its goal of being able to provide free backpacks and school supplies across the region. Officials are urging people to donate, especially in Chickasaw, Union, and Itawamba counties. Since 2011, United Way has handed out more than 4,000 backpacks each year. For $12.50, a donor can sponsor one child to receive a backpack full of school supplies. Donors are encouraged to make their gifts online at unitedwaynems.org/B2S. The resource fair begins in mid-July.
The family of a Tupelo man who died in an officer-involved shooting and their attorney gathered on Monday to demand the police officer be fired and charged criminally. Grenada attorney Carlos Moore hosted a press conference to make demands of the Tupelo Police Department and the city of Tupelo. Antoine Ronnie Schumpert was shot and killed by a TPD officer on June 18th after a routine traffic stop turned into a foot chase and alleged altercation. The Mississippi Bureau of Investigation is currently investigating the incident. City of Tupelo attorney Ben Logan said the city had to let that investigation be completed before taking any action. He also said some of Moore's claims against the community were ridiculous and inflammatory.
A new splash pad at Tupelo's Theron Nichols Park is expected to be open next week. The splash pad was constructed by CIG Contractors of Corinth. The total project cost likely will be around $580,000. Tupelo also has splash pads at Fair Park, Veterans Park, and Rob Leak City Park.
A new solar power farm is open just north of Houston. A ceremonial switch was flipped on Tuesday at the Silicon Ranch Solar Farm. Once the final testing is completed in July, it will generate 3.9 megawatts, or enough to power more than 400 local homes and businesses. It is Chickasaw County's 2nd solar farm. Silicon Ranch also operates one in Okolona that can power 300 homes. The company operates more than 24 locations and has sites under development in Hattiesburg, Tupelo, and New Albany. And hey, today's show, it's sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, a locally owned grocery store on East Main. The store recently changed its name from Palmer's, but the owners and the employees haven't changed. Damon Palmer and his brother Jason are the third generation owners of the East Tupelo grocery store that was founded way back in 1957. The Palmer brothers have teamed up with last year's Grocery Wholesaler of the Year and decided to go with their Cost Plus program. The store now sells its groceries 10% over cost, and that has allowed it to add more variety, especially in the meat, produce, and dairy departments. Along with the name change came a refreshing of the interior, new signs, and better parking. So visit Shoppers Value Foods for high-quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. Well, let's go down to Jackson, where things are just fun, aren't they? Bobby Harrison, Capitol Bureau Chief. Hey, how's it going, Bobby?
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
How's that special session going? Not over yet, is it?
Not over yet. The House is debating the bill to transfer the money from the rainy day fund to plug the budget deficits. They're debating that bill right now. The Republicans are defending the budget that was passed, and the Democrats are saying the tax cuts have been passed or helping cause this budget hole and having to result in using the rainy day fund to fill the budget holes, you know. So, but eventually the bill will pass and they'll go home.
Well, they thought it might be a one-day thing, but the Democrats in the House blocked an effort to take up a bill that would allow the governor to transfer as much money as he needed from the rainy day fund, which he's done a couple of times already this fiscal year. And now, of course, you got the finger pointing and the blaming across the aisles. The Democrats blaming the Republicans for having to stay another day, and then House Speaker Philip Gunn says that's hogwash.
Yeah, hogwash.
Poppycock. Bull. So anyway, but I think that, like you said, Bobby, this is just it's just a matter of time before this ends up going the way the Republicans won, right?
Right, it is, and the Democrats said, you know, yesterday that they just wanted more time yesterday to learn more facts before they took up the bill, and they would have been willing to take it up yesterday and probably end the session in one day. The Republicans said they had the time to do that, and the Democrats were just trying to shift blame from them for having to stay another day. So, you know, it was just a back and forth, and yeah. Probably both sides was a little. Was a little right and a little wrong, so but that's kind of the political game.
Yeah, and so you know the current fiscal budget year ends tomorrow, and so the news right?
No, actually, I think today is Wednesday. You're
today's
right.
Today's the 29th. We discussed this top of the show. We've determined that today is the 29th. Yes.
Yeah. Is it midnight Thursday night?
Yeah. And so then you've got the 2017. Fiscal budget, and that's also a concern, at least to the Democrats. Hob Bryan from Amory said he doesn't know what's going on and doesn't think anyone else is either.
Yeah, that goes back to the, you know, we talked about before, Brad, that and I can't remember the exact name, but the Budget Simplification Act that transferred the money from the special funds money that was fees and assessments levied to pay for specific purposes is transferring that money to the general fund to pay for general budget support. And, you know, and there's some issues. Attorney General said the bill is poorly written and doesn't do what the legislative leadership says it does, and this may end up going to court. Senator Bryan's contention was that while the legislature was down here in special session, if, you know, if the leadership was serious about these shifts, they should, you know, legislation should have been introduced to address the Attorney General's concerns and alleviate some of those questions going into 2017. You know, as you recall, legislative leadership already admitted that they made they appropriated $56 million more than they should have by mistake in the 2017 budget. So revenues continues to be sluggish. I mean, 2017 issues could be a lot worse than the 2016 issues.
I like at the end of your story today, Bobby, you threw in the cost of holding a special session, and these first 2 days are going to basically cost taxpayers about $100,000, right?
Right. The first day costs more because it includes mileage for numbers to get there. Then after that, it drops, and it's for the House to say next day is about about $33,000 off the top of my head, somewhere around that number.
Bobby, is there any truth to the rumor that you will be filibustering using the 1987 Sears and Roebuck catalog?
No, I'm not a filibusterer.
Okay, all right.
I'm ready for them to go.
I remember that catalog.
That was a good year for Sears and Roebuck.
Yeah, it was. Better days for Sears and Roebuck.
In rural Johns County, when the Sears and Roebuck catalog came, that was a big deal.
I remember it was for me at that time. I was in grade school, and that was like, hey, I can shop for Christmas now.
Everything we bought was in Laurel County. came from Sears and Roebuck, I think.
That's funny. So anyway, we'll see if maybe they can wrap it up today. And heck, maybe by the time this airs, they'll have some kind of resolution. But if they do, we'll have the coverage at djournal.com and in the Thursday Daily Journal. Follow Bobby on Twitter for updates at BobbyHarrison9. Bobby, thank you, sir. Good work.
All right. Y'all have a good day.
You too.
It's Wednesday morning. Must mean Jenna Parsons is joining us to discuss food. Jenna, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I was reading your recipe for honey garlic shrimp, and I noticed you didn't have any with you. I'm not shocked. I'm just
saying. Ate them all. There were no leftovers.
Well, that'll do it.
I don't like shrimp anyway.
What?
Nah.
What? Brad.
Seafood
what
for me.
What is wrong with you?
Like? Most seafood, I'll take a pass. Most seafood.
Well.
Something about it just is like, Crab cakes, though. I eat the heck out of those.
See, I'm not a crab cake person. I got sick one time when I ate crab, and I don't know if it was the crab or the beer, so I just stay away from the crab, but not the beer.
Shrimp, lobster,
shellfish,
oysters, clams, gross.
You're not a happy person, are you?
Well,
Seafood has nothing to do with it. Back to your shrimp.
This shrimp with the garlic and the ginger and the soy sauce, it was excellent. And I realized our son Patrick can't eat shrimp. He has an allergic reaction to it. So we don't even cook shrimp if he's in the house. We wait until he's out of the house. The smell of it even bothers him because of the reaction that he has to it.
He just says that because he doesn't like it when you cook shrimp.
No, I don't think so. But I did think as I was doing the dishes after we had this meal that I think this would be excellent if you took chicken breast and cut them up into little cubes and did the chicken instead of the shrimp in this garlic ginger soy sauce marinade and then kind of got that little caramelization on the chicken like we did on the shrimp. I think that would be doable.
Honey,
so
garlic,
I think,
chicken.
Brad, that you could have this meal, just substitute chicken for the shrimp.
The best way to find that out is next Tuesday night. You cook a batch and see how it turns out and bring it in here.
You know what? I'm actually going to. Do you want me to do it Tuesday night and bring it in here?
Heck yeah. If it's chicken.
He said it. I'm not going to ask for food. Your column today that included the recipe, you found that recipe off Pinterest. Is that correct?
I did, even though I didn't mean to.
You don't like going on Pinterest?
I do like going on Pinterest, but I waste a lot of time when I go on Pinterest.
You have an issue.
I think I have the same issue that everyone else does. You get in there and you get sucked in, and the next thing you know, hours have passed, and the kids are hungry, and the dishes hadn't been done, and the dog's crying at the door, so I try not to do
Pinterest. Husband's crying at the other door. I usually have the same experience with Pinterest every time I've ever opened it. That looks cool. I'll never do it. Close it.
Have you ever been on the site that's like a Pinterest epic fails and it, you know, you'll go to
people
Pinterest
try to do
and
the
you'll
before,
see,
yeah.
And they say, yeah. Oh, this is so easy. Anybody can do it. And then you try to do it and it looks like something that the cat threw up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I like to go to that site.
Highly incorrect that you could pull some of these things off. That would be me every time. I would never be able to make that work.
Well, I do have to say that this dish looked just like the pictures did.
Well, that you're a pro.
No.
You're a pro.
No, yeah. It was really an easy recipe. It's only got like 5 ingredients.
Well, it doesn't hurt that you're a pro.
I'm not a pro.
She's a pro.
She's a pro. And then your cook of the week this week, tell us about her. She's no stranger to the Daily Journal staff.
She is
here.
No stranger to the Daily Journal staff. It is April Clark, who is married to our former cop reporter, J.B. Clark. And I don't guess I had really spent a whole lot of time around April. And so everything that she told me when we did the interview was news to me. I didn't know that they had met at a summer camp and didn't see each other speak for 5 years. And then he goes to her hometown for a ball game, says, let's meet for coffee. They meet for coffee. 5 months later, they're married. She's moved to Tupelo. And I also didn't know that she was a nutrition dietitian major in college, and I didn't know that she has been going to nursing school for 2 or 3 years while she was working at Cafe 212, and this week she started in labor and delivery at the hospital in Tupelo. So
she is just a delightful person.
She is. After the interview, we were texting back and forth about a recipe, and I just said, you're precious. I am so glad I got to spend time with you. She's just she's just a doll, and just has the most innovative recipes, the things that she puts together, and using all the fresh vegetables. They are Native Son, part of that CSA you go and get the vegetables every week. But she said on Sunday she opens up the refrigerator and she surveys it, and she sees what vegetables she has left. She makes a list, and then as she uses them, she checks it off so that nothing goes to waste.
Wow. What is a bread salad?
Neither one of us were sure how to pronounce it. It's either panzanilla or panzanella, but it's you take crusty bread and you saute it in a little olive oil and make little bread chunks out of it, and then you mix it with all these vegetables, and then you dress it with like a oil and vinegar dressing, and it is a bread salad. It's vegetables and bread.
Did you try any?
I did not try hers. I have had it before. It's very good, very light, summery.
And what's really cool is she can pull from different influences. As you noted in the story, her dad is from Mexico. I've met him before. He's a pretty fun guy. Grandmother's from Germany. So she's got, she can make good Mexican food. She makes some German dishes. I mean, she's
all over the road.
Yeah. I mean, she tends to focus on fruits and vegetables, doesn't she?
Her philosophy is if you eat as many fruits and vegetables every day as you can, then you don't have to feel guilty about whatever else you eat. If you want dessert, it's not a problem because you've had your fruits and vegetables. So I think that's moderation, but I think that's a good way to live.
All right, Jenna, what's on tap for next week?
What is on tap for next week? The cook of the week is Betty Harrison from Walnut. I had never been to Walnut before, I don't think, or at least I had never been that far north in Tippah County.
I spent a week there one night.
And I don't know what my column's going to be.
It's totally serious. What?
I don't know what my column's going to be.
No, wait. You said you're bringing food next week? I won't be here.
That's right. You're on vacation.
Bring double.
In that case, maybe I'll make it with shrimp.
Have fun with the shrimp.
Thanks for joining us, Jenna.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, once again, we remind you that today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods. And, we just heard Jenna Parsons talking about some of these recipes. You can find those ingredients for those recipes at the place formerly known as Palmer's. The Palmer brothers have worked hard on improving every area of the store to make customers' experiences even better than before and to save them money on quality name brand products. So visit the locally owned grocery store on East Main Street. You'll love the look, love the prices, and get helped by the same people you knew at Palmer's.
You can go make a bread salad.
If you want to do that.
Yeah. Or a bread sandwich.
Bread sandwich?
That's just bread.
With the bread in between?
Mm-hmm.
Different kinds of bread?
Yeah.
Maybe like ciabatta bread.
Yeah.
With rye bread in between.
And just like Iron Kids right in the middle. Is Iron Kids still a thing?
Iron Kids.
Does that still exist?
I think so, maybe.
I just pulled that out of a way back machine.
Yeah, you did. I don't know.
I also saw this morning that Crystal Pepsi's coming back in August.
What?
Yes.
Crystal Pepsi? Is that the clear Pepsi?
Yes.
All I remember about that is the SNL did a spoof of that commercial
with the crystal gravy.
Yeah. And it was the Van Halen song, right?
I may have to buy some Crystal Pepsi. I don't even drink Pepsi, but that's just...
Pepsi's gross anyway. I don't know how Crystal Pepsi's going to be any better.
Scott Morris will fight you.
All soda's gross to me, though. I don't drink anymore.
What is?
All soda is gross.
Oh, yeah, I don't drink a lot of soda.
I gave it up like 3-4 years ago, and I thought I would miss it. And then like a couple months ago, I thought I was stealing a sip of my son's sweet tea. Turns out it was Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
And it was like... just disgusting. Turning, and I used to like Dr. Pepper.
Well, maybe you can buy a Crystal Pepsi at Shoppers Value when it comes out.
How does that even work? It's basically Sprite, right?
Pepsi. It's just clear.
I don't even want to know what they put in it to make it that way.
Yes, you do.
I really don't.
You really do.
Magic.
Yeah. It's invisible water.
Is it FDA approved?
Hey, we'll be back. No, you'll be back tomorrow.
I will be, but
you're gone all next week.
You're not here tomorrow, are you?
Mm-mm.
So then I'm gone next week.
I got to burn a day.
Yeah.
So y'all won't see each other for like 2 weeks.
Yee-hoo!
Is this bad or good?
I'll be in this pool the whole time.
You going to pool sit for me next week?
Yeah.
you do that, buddy. Okay, well, I'll be back with someone tomorrow on Thursday.
You'll be doing it solo. I've already dictated.
I can do that.
You're going to be all on your own.
Not a problem.
It's fine.
Okay. Well, y'all have a wonderful Wednesday, June the 29th.
Or if you're in Australia, happy June 30th.
Yeah, that as well. Bye.
You going to tell them where they can listen to us?
Oh, shit. I got ahead of myself. I'm ready to get out of here, buddy. Yeah, you can listen to us.
You can listen to us. Let me tell you.
You can listen to us on iTunes, or if you don't have an iPhone, you can listen to us on podcast apps like Stitcher, Satchel, Player.fm. Also, stream it online on your web browser at memo.djournal.com. We're on Twitter at djournalmemo. And, of course, you need to check out djournal.com for all the latest news, sports, entertainment, whatever else is going on in Northeast Mississippi. And follow us on Twitter at DJournal now. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke.
At W. Derek Russell.
At Chris Kiefer.
Still hadn't got that Chiefer Twitter.
I got it on lockdown whenever he's ready.
And Chiefer is the first F silent. The second F.
They're all silent. You still say them, but they're silent.
I'm confused.
We'll see you next time.
Next time. Okay, now we're gone. Bye.